darkness overshadows the little village of his birth. His family all asleep, he lies alone. Gazing up toward heaven, a little tear falls to the earth, and he wonders if his sorrows here are known. His body wrapped with pain from his father's sharp disdain, he lifts his head and whispers in the night, if there's a God above, please send someone in love to comfort me and show me. Creased and wrinkled, his hands were calloused hard, his hair was gray, his body stooped with age, but his eye possessed a twinkle, and his gaze shot through my heart. His voice was strong, he looked at me and said, the harvest fields are ripe, and I have labored all my life. Jesus Christ is near. Step forward now, the work of God embrace. How will they hear? How will they know? How will they ever find the truth if we don't go? How can we fear God's love to show? Jesus desires to show. How will they hear if we don't go?
Well, that's a good missionary song for us. We've got a missionary, our own missionary out of our church, Brother Mike Mullins, with us tonight, and that's a real privilege. Brother Mullins graduated our college, talking about college graduation this Sunday night. I think he graduated almost 13 years ago, 12 maybe, a little over, and went and started a church in Tennessee, and it's going great. But then God called him from that church to the mission field in Chile. And he's done a great work over there. I think that's, what, about 7 years ago, Brother Mike? And he's come back now, graduation, and we want him to give us kind of a, bring the message tonight, but maybe kind of give us a little bit of report, and we just praise the Lord. I think Brother Mike got saved listening on the radio, I believe, or it caused him to come to church. Anyway, he got saved, and right away, went to college, worked his way through college, and around here in the big metropolis of Haines City. It is a little bigger now, Mike. At least the traffic's heavier. I don't know if it's any bigger, but it's more congested anyway. But anyway, we're glad to have Brother Mike Mullins with us tonight. Come on, please.
Well, good evening. Good to be with you this evening. I mean, it's always an honor to be here at Landmark. And it's especially a great honor for me to be here with my wife tonight, Marta. And Marta's also a graduate of Landmark Baptist College. And Marta and I met here in school and was married. And this year we celebrate 15 years of marriage. So we're excited about that. And they tell me they're going to let me get my master's degree. And I'm excited about that. You really don't need it to be a missionary on the foreign field. Nobody knows what that means. But it's a great honor anyway. We're excited about being here. We flew up just a couple of days ago. We got here Monday. And when we got off the plane, it was pouring rain in Orlando. And I said, what's going on here? We thought we were coming to Florida. And it's rained like every day since. And so we brought the rain. Amen. We brought the rain with us. Amen. Marta looked on the internet and said it was going to be raining like this all week. And so we go back to Chile next week, but we're excited about being here. The work down there is just doing great. I mean, we've got a good group of people, full house. Last Sunday, we had our Mother's Day service, and we had a good attendance, had a good full house down there, and the work's going well. We get lots of visitors and folks getting saved. We have every type of ministry down there that you would have here. We've got some visitation, to soul winning, to married couples, to youth, to ladies groups, and just all types of things going on down there. And it's different because it's a different country. It's a different language. It's a different culture. And the Chilean people are much different than American people. But once you get to know them, they're warm and they're friendly and they love their families and they love their children. And bless God, once they get the Word of God in their life and in their heart, they're very faithful to church as well. Very predominantly Catholic country down there, but Chile has a little bit of everything. The last 25 years or so, you've got a big increase of Pentecostal churches, Mormons, I call them morons, Mormons, and I joke with them down there. You see them down there all the time, two and two, running around, young 20-year-old guys that don't know anything about the Bible. And they don't know that I'm American because I got dark hair and, you know, and I'll speak to them in Spanish and I'll say, ustedes son morons. I'll say, you guys are morons. And they'll go, Mormons. And I'll see, sí, sí, morons. And then I'll tell them, I'm American, man. I'm just joking with you, you know, but it's not far from the truth. But Jehovah's Witnesses, you've got all those guys down there as well. And so the mission field is really a big battlefield, and it's a battle for the souls of men. We're excited about being here with you. We're excited about being from Landmark, called out of this church. And since Martin and I married and launched out into the ministry, God has allowed us to start a couple of churches, and successful churches, and they're doing really well. A church is kind of like a newborn baby. And you start it, you put years of your life into it, and then you get ready to turn it over to someone else and then go start another one. You're a little bit worried about it, you know. You don't know what's going to happen to it, and if the other guy's, if he was the right one, did you pick the right one, did you train him right, is it going to succeed, is it going to, you understand that? And if you've ever started a church, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And that's exactly how I felt when we turned the church over in Tennessee. And you're not going to believe this, but they are doing so much better now that I'm gone. They really are. And they've built a new sanctuary. They've got a full house, got a great man up there doing a great job. And just outside of Nashville, good area. And now we have got a great work going down in Santiago, Chile. We've been down there a little over 7 years. And I was 38 years old when I told Marta, we were pastoring the church there in Tennessee, when I told Marta, I said, I thank God's dealing my heart about going to Chile, starting a church down there. 38 years old. We'd done 2 years on deputation. And then we arrived in Santiago, Chile. I was 40 years old, did not speak Spanish. And I'll tell you, it was a struggle that first year. And we started the church 4 months after I got to the mission field. So how are you going to start a church and you don't speak the language yet? Very difficult, amen. And so we started with one family in our living room, and that progressed. And Marta helped me a lot with translating. I'd write my messages out in English, and she'd help me translate it into Spanish. And then I would spend the next 2 days studying that message and how to pronounce those words so that I could preach it in Sunday in our little newborn church. Well, 7 years later, Marta doesn't translate for me anymore. I do pretty good on the language now. At least they tell me that. Maybe they're just being nice to me, amen. But my Spanish has come a long ways, And this year I'll turn 48 years old. My Spanish is actually pretty good, and I preach 3 times a week without a problem. And I found that I never have problems developing messages or finding something to preach. And you know why? Because I just spend so much time reading the Bible, there's always something to say. Amen. I mean, if you spend a lot of time in the Word of God, you're always going to have something to say. Amen. And so I've got something to say tonight. And I come here, and I wasn't sure that I was going to preach. I thought I was just going to come and be a part of the graduation service. But I'm always ready. And so when I was coming on the plane, I was thinking about, if I get to preach, I said, what am I going to preach? And the Lord kept taking me to a context of Scripture and just really kind of dealing with my heart about some faults in that. And then I found out that Brother Herzog had passed away, and had his funeral recently this morning, and I didn't know that. And the message that I'm going to preach to you, it kind of deals with death a little bit. And I told Marta, I said maybe I ought to preach something else, maybe to a little bit too sensitive for some people, given the moment. And she said, well, did God tell you to preach that? And I said, I think He did. And she said, you better preach it then. And so we're just going to go ahead and deal with it. We're going to open up our Bibles and go to the Gospel of John. And we're going to look over in about chapter 11 of the Gospel of John. And that term, missionary, just means preacher. Amen? I just preach the Word of God. Amen? Preach it in a different language. They don't call me missionary down there. They call me pastor. Amen? But I'm a missionary to you guys, but we're just trying to do something for God. And so I'm just going to kind of preach to you the same way I do down there. Sometimes it can be hard because I'm so accustomed now to speaking in Spanish, preaching in Spanish. And if I'm right in the middle of just letting it go, and all of a sudden a couple of Spanish words come out, it was an accident. John chapter 11, amen? It's a very exciting context of Scripture. I just recently taught the entire Gospel of John on Wednesday nights to our church in Santiago, Chile. I'm now teaching the book of Acts. We're in chapter 5 of the book of Acts. But we just went through the whole Gospel of John. A lot of these chapters are still fresh on my mind. And I want to deal with something here tonight in chapter 11. Now, chapter 11 is a very, very long context. And we're not going to take the time to read the whole story, of course. It deals with the death and the resurrection of Lazarus. And so I want to pick up reading probably in verse 20, John chapter 11 and verse 20. I'll keep pulling this thing down here. Sometimes when I start going, I can get pretty loud. And if I look down at my Bible, I'm going to blow you guys out with that microphone there. John chapter 11 and verse 20. And the Bible says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know, Lord, that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. I want to speak to tonight on this thought of belief. And if I could use that question from the Lord Jesus in verse 26, believest thou this? So I want to speak to tonight on belief. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your precious word. And we ask, dear God, that you would be with us tonight. Bless this message, Lord God, and speak to hearts. Thank you, Lord God, for all that you do, Lord God, for us. Thank you, Lord God, for the Holy Spirit's work and power in our lives. Bless God our time, Lord God. May we glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, chapter 11 is a great chapter. I love this chapter. I love this story, this history. Amen. And it really kind of begins out here in the beginning of the chapter 11. You've got Jesus. He's kind of like over on the backside of Jordan. He's doing some preaching over there, and he's with the disciples, and folks are getting saved. And he gets the message that Lazarus is sick. And I mean really sick. I mean to the point of death sick. And it was kind of strange that Jesus wouldn't leave immediately and go directly to Lazarus and his sisters, because the Bible says that he loved them. Now, Lazarus and Martha and Mary, they weren't blood related to Jesus, but he loved them. He probably had a closer relationship with them than he did with his own family. Have you ever loved someone that wasn't blood related to you? You know what I'm talking about, amen? I love Mr. and Mrs. Bunch. Man, they're sweet people, probably the sweetest people I've ever known in my life, amen? And I love them, amen? I respect them, amen? And that's kind of how Jesus felt about Lazarus and his sisters. He had a very close relationship with them. The Bible says that he waited 2 full days before he would make that journey over there to see the sisters and comfort them, and ultimately, of course, raise Lazarus from the dead. Something interesting here in our context, if you look down at verse 16, it says, "Then said Thomas," which is called Didymus, "unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him." But when I read that, I think to myself, I said, man, he was so confused, you know? Thomas was one of those guys, we call him Doubting Thomas. He really didn't have a clue of what was going on. He was the same guy that said, you know, I'm not going to believe until I stick my finger in the nail prints in his hands. The disciples, it amazes me that how many times in the New Testament you find out that the disciples were mixed up or confused and really didn't know what was going on. They didn't understand that Jesus was going to go to the cross. They didn't understand about the resurrection. They didn't understand so many things that you and I understand today because we have the Word of God. But here we find in this context that he's also a little bit confused. He thinks it's necessary to go over there and die with Lazarus. When we get down to our context in verse 20, it says that as soon as Martha had heard that Jesus was coming, that she went out to meet him. And of course, we know that when Jesus arrives on the scene, that there's a funeral taking place. Lots of funerals these days, not too many weddings. People don't marry these days, they just shack up. But lots of funerals. But when Jesus gets there, there was a funeral taking place. And people were crying and weeping, and it was emotional for him because he loved these people. To see Martha and Mary so emotional the way that they were, and he cried with them. And what's very interesting to me is when Martha says to him in verse 20, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But then she says in verse 22, but I know. I think you preach a message on that thought right there, but I know. Amen? The previous verse is kind of the negative. My brother's dead. If you had been here, he had not died, because I know that you have power over life and death. And then she says, but I know. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, he will give it thee. Amen? That was her faith in action at that moment. Her faith in action. Her confidence in who Jesus was. Now, what I want to preach to you on is this response of the Lord Jesus Christ to Martha, but it's also a response to us today. Let's pick up the context here. Well, we'll probably have to read on down. Verse 23, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me. Now I want you to think about that. Think about that thought for a minute there. He that believeth in me. The heart of the gospel is found in belief, our faith. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we are saved. Amen. The belief is the principal thing. And it says here in this context, he that believeth in me. Now, that belief, it's not just a mental understanding or a knowledge, head full understanding of the gospel or the Bible. I've met plenty of people that understand the Bible, parts of it, and have a working understanding of the scripture, but they lack something very big, and it's in this area of belief. Belief. Belief is what saves us. The Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons, that's their problem. I mean, they're missing this part of the gospel. It says, believeth in me, Jesus. We have to put our faith in Him, in who He is. He is the Son of God. But He's also God in the flesh. 100% man, 100% God. He was the creator of all things. He existed in the beginning. He always was with God. He always was God. The Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses, they miss this. And therefore, they miss the true teaching of Scripture of who Jesus was. He said to Martha, in verse 25, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, that belief is the principal part. You have to believe in Jesus and who He is and what He has done. That belief keeps us saved. It maintains us, amen? Our salvation is internal. When I put my faith 100% in Him, I know that sometimes it seems like preachers come in like me and they preaching on basic stuff. You know, I found out that most of God's people need a lot of basic Bible. I tell you, down in Chile, you would be surprised how little of Bible understanding that the people really have. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I preached on Noah the other day, and some of them act like they'd never heard that. And then the next Sunday, I preached on Judas. Amen? And they definitely never heard some of that stuff. But the lack of Bible knowledge, you know what it is? It's just not reading your Bible. You can't get it all just coming to church and listening to the preacher. You got to get into the Word of God yourself. Amen? But it says, he that believeth in me, you got to believe who Jesus is. You can believe in the Bible, you can believe in God, but if you get the Jesus part wrong, if you get your belief in that wrong, the wrong belief will send you to a different place. Amen? The wrong belief will send you to a different place. It's a place called hell. And the Bible says that when we take our last breath, and this spirit man, this soul man on the inside, when he steps out, he's going on a trip. Yes, sir, he's going on a trip. One of two places. Amen? He's going on a trip. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to go on a trip and not know where I'm going. Amen? I kind of want to know where I'm going. Hey, if I come down, Brother Bunch, I said, come on, we're going on a trip. Come with me. And he said, well, where are we going? I said, it don't matter where we're going. Come on, we're going down to the airport and get some tickets. We're going on a trip. Well, Brother Mike, I really like to know where. No, don't worry about it. We're going on a trip. You want to know where you're going, don't you? Amen. I want to know where I'm going. Amen. And the Bible says very clearly that we can know that. It's through belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and who He is and what He's done and the sacrifice on Calvary. And I can't quite get over that. Amen? I come from a bad family, broken home, drunkards, amen? I mean, hippie-type people, amen? And the Lord saved me, amen? I heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I knew that that's what I had been waiting for all of these years. And when I got saved, I never turned back. I never turn back to the world. My wife makes sure of that, by the way. Hey, she keeps me straight. I told Mrs. Bunch the other day, I said, she makes me want to do better. Amen? And then she really humbled me, and she said, well, Jesus ought to do that. But she does. She makes me want to do better. Belief, amen? Belief in Jesus and who He is and what He's done. That's what salvation is all about. Look what He says here. Belief in me shall never die. He that believeth in me, though he were, or though he were dead. We'll back up to verse 25. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That word dead is referring to a physical death. It's referring to all of those that have died in Christ before He comes back. The dead that's in the ground. Now, you can talk about death because death is all around us. We experience death in our lives. It's appointed a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And the older you live, the more family members and friends and people that you know are gonna pass away, and the more funerals that you're gonna attend. I never attended a funeral in my life until I was an adult, but since then I've attended many of them. Well, the Bible here says, Jesus says that the dead that they're gonna live again. I was reading the book of Isaiah one time. Oh, I guess it was back over in about chapter 26. Let me read this verse to you. Isaiah is talking about the resurrection in chapter 26 and verse 19. This is what he says. He says, "Thy dead men shall live together with my dead body, shall they arise." And that's a resurrection, huh? He says, "Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. For the dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." Now, friend, he's talking about a resurrection right there. Hey, Jesus said, if you believe in me, even though you were dead, you're going to rise again. Ye shall live. Now, I like that. I like the living part, amen? I like the fact that there's more after this life. I don't know how many years I have left. I think I'm pretty healthy, but tomorrow you never know. Amen? You never know. You never know what's up around the next corner. Everybody doesn't live to be 80. You better get that very clear right now. Now, I know there's a lot of folks in here that have passed 80, but everybody doesn't make it to 80. As a matter of fact, very few people are going to make it to 80. That's the truth. But he that believeth in Jesus, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Amen. Live forever. In eternity, in heaven, in a place called heaven. Amen? Look at this thought right here in verse 26. "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Now that's us, the church. Amen? If the rapture was to happen today, you and I that are saved are going out. We're going up. Come up hither, amen? Revelation chapter 4, we're going up to the to heaven to be with Jesus forever for that 7 years for the marriage supper of the Lamb during that 7 years. But we're going up in the rapture of the church. And this is what he says. "And whosoever liveth and believeth," that would be me, that would be you, because you're living. You have physical life in your body, and you believe what? Believeth what? Believeth in Jesus and what he's done, amen? Don't believe in yourself. Believe in Jesus. You're not perfect, and neither am I. Just ask my wife, amen? Not perfect, amen? But I believe in Jesus. I've accepted him as my Savior, amen? He's my only hope. I have no hope outside of that. I have no righteousness outside of him. Amen. And the Bible says, "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Amen. Now that word "die" there is referring to a spiritual death and really a physical death as well. I'm never going to die because I don't experience the physical death because I go out in the rapture. I'm also never going to die spiritually because I've been born again. I'm a new creature in Christ. Amen. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I'm a born-again creature, amen? I'm going to live forever. I'm never going to die. I like that. I like that. Now, this physical body, if the Lord doesn't come back and come back soon, it's gonna wither away. I feel it getting weak now. I'll turn 48 this year. I told my wife the other day, I said, "You're not going to believe this, babe, but sometimes it's hard for me to put my socks on in the morning." She laughed at me. And she thought I was joking, I guess. No, it's really creeping up on me that fast. Huh? The body is just not what it used to be 10 years ago. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about, amen? Huh? Amen. Yeah. Hey, if the Lord doesn't come back, yeah, I'm going to go out through death. Huh? But that's okay. Huh? I love this body. I'm kind of attached to it. It's been with me for a long time. I try to take care of it. I comb my hair, I wash it, I brush my teeth, I try to exercise a little bit, I try to be careful what I eat sometimes, amen? I'm kind of attached to it, but I know that if Jesus doesn't come back soon, I'm going to go out through death. But my soul, the real me on the inside. Amen? It's going to live forever. It's going to step out, and it's going on a trip. And bless God, my ticket's paid for. Amen? It's paid for, amen? With the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's paid for. Church, we started up there in Tennessee, Gospel Light Baptist Church. They paid for one of our tickets to come here this weekend. Sweet people, amen? My ticket to heaven is paid for. And this is what he says, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never, never, you believe that? Never die. Got to live forever. Now notice the response of Martha in verse 26. Well, first of all, notice what Jesus says first. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then he says to Martha, question mark. And now, Jesus doesn't ask a whole lot of questions in the Bible because he knows everything. But when he does ask a question, you better listen up. He says, believest thou this? Now, he's speaking to Martha, but he's also speaking to us. Believest thou this? Believest thou that I am the resurrection and the life? Huh? Believest that I have the keys, amen, of death, hell, and the grave? Hey, believest thou this, Martha? Believest in me, and you will never die? Believest thou this? And this is what she says in verse 27. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe. I believe. I believe that thou art the Christ. Now, that word Christ, she's literally saying that thou art the Messiah. Amen. That Old Testament Messiah Redeemer that was prophesied. Thou, you are him. Mira. She said to him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. She believed. She just simply believed. That's what we have to do. We have to just believe. We have to believe the gospel. I remember when I was in Bible college, and I had done a year on my master's degree before we left to go start a church in Tennessee. It was kind of weird how we got up there, and how God called us up there. It was just an amazing thing. There was a family that had sent a letter to the Bible college and said, "Hey, we live in Spring Hill, Tennessee. We'd sure like to have somebody come up here and start a church." And somebody put that letter in my hand and said, "Why don't you pray about this, Brother Mike?" Next thing you know, I was up there meeting with that family. And the strangest thing is that family never attended one service in the church that we started up there. Huh? As a matter of fact, when we met with that family, they had, in their home, they had like gotten cold and turned their back and started asking us all kind of weird questions like, "Do you believe it's all okay for women to wear pants?" and stuff like that. And I was like, what in the world? What's going on here? And then before we got out of their home, Marta was crying. And I was crying. And I never cry. And I was so emotional, I couldn't hardly get the keys to open the car up. We went back to the hotel where we were staying at. We'd never been up there in that area before. And we cried most of the night. We cried ourselves to sleep. And we prayed. And you're not going to believe this, but God said, "I want you to come here. I want you to start a church in this town." We didn't know anybody. Not one soul did we know up there. We'd never been there before. We didn't know anybody. Nobody helped us. Huh? We went up there and got full-time jobs. Boy, I don't know what we was thinking. I don't know what we was thinking. We weren't thinking. We were believing. We're believing that God would do it. Amen? That God would do something that we couldn't. We're just simply believing. After a number of years there, the church began to grow. We had a good group of people. I'm 38 years old. We're having a missions conference. Third annual missions conference. I got a church full of missionaries. Huh? God called me to the altar after the missionary preached. I'm the pastor of the church. And he said, "I want you to go to missions. I want you to go to South America." I never wanted to go to Chile because Marta was from there. I always thought they'd say, "You down there because your wife is from there." Yeah. But when I came to Landmark, I majored in missions. Always had a heart for missions. And there in Tennessee, when God dealt with my heart, I told Marta. And 3 months later, we were on deputation. 2 years of deputation, now we've been in Chile for over 7 years. I was 40 years old when we got to the mission field. Barely spoke English. Asked Mrs. Harvey. Amen? Barely spoke English. And I had to learn a second language. Oh, God help me. What am I thinking? What am I thinking? That a 40-year-old man that doesn't speak the language, that doesn't come from a Christian family, that doesn't have any contacts, that doesn't know anybody, that doesn't have any influence, can make a difference? What am I thinking? I wasn't thinking. I was believing. I was believing that God could do it again. Huh? I was believing that God could help me. I speak pretty good Spanish today. It's not perfect, but it gets the job done. We got folks getting saved all the time. There's a church full of people down there. We own the property that the church sits on. Amen? God could do it. It's through belief. It's believing in Him. It's believing in His Word. It's believing that He can do it. I can't do it. I'm so inadequate. Huh? I have so many character flaws. Lack of patience would probably be one of them. Huh? I never pray for patience, by the way. I always heard that if you did that, He'd send tribulation. I don't pray for patience. Amen. Hey, but I have so many character flaws. I'm not that educated. Amen. That's not what God's looking for. But I can believe. Huh? I can believe. Amen. And if I can't do it, God can send somebody that can. Amen. Yeah. You're not going to believe this. When we started that church in Spring Hill, Tennessee, the very first family to join the church played the piano. That's rare. We started that church in Santiago, Chile. 6 months after we started the church, family joined the church, played the piano. It's hard to find a piano player in South America. You're lucky if you find a guitarist. Amen? Just not the same singing without any type of instruments. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Here, it's different. Oh, it's different. Oh, you got everything here. We love coming back here to the United States. We don't get to come very often. This is Marta's first time here in 4 years. I came last November for the Spanish Bible Conference, and that was my first time in that length of time as well. We don't get to come very often. First of all, it's expensive to come from halfway around the world. Amen? And secondly, we've got a full-time ministry down there. We can't take the time off. I took one Sunday to come here for the graduation. I'm going to miss one Sunday in our church down there. One Sunday and two Wednesdays. But we love coming here. The people are so nice. You would not believe how friendly Americans are. You want to meet some unfriendly people? Go to Latin America. I'm not joking. They won't say hello to you on the street if you pass them. Walk right past, they won't even look at you. Unless they know you. That's how Latin America is. Amen? I told Marta, 10 times since we've been, see how nice they were? The waitresses, people at the airport, everybody's nice, amen? The waitress came back like, we went to Sonny's first time, the first restaurant we went to Sonny's over here in 8. Marta, I said, where do you want to go? She said, I don't go to Sonny's. So we went over to Sonny's and ate that brisket. That waitress came back like 4 times. Is everything okay? Do y'all need anything else? Here's another team. In Chile, you're going to pay twice as much for the food, and they don't come back not one time unless it's with a check. I'm serious. And if you want another refill, it's not free. You're going to pay for it, by the way. And you literally have to go run the people down. It's just different down there. Amen? We love coming back here. Somebody took me out to eat today and took me to a steak restaurant. Amen? And bought me the biggest steak on the menu. Man, I felt guilty. Huh? I did. We love coming back here. We don't get to do it very often. I tell you what else we love. We love being Christians. Amen? We love working for the Lord. Hey, I know we're not the best missionaries. I know I'm not the greatest preacher. Amen? And sometimes I don't know what I'm thinking. When I say, let's do this, I don't know what I'm thinking. I'm just believing. That's all I have. I have my belief and my faith. And I tell you what, it works for me. Amen? You got to find out what works for you. Huh? I have seen so many college students, pastors, and missionaries. They have lost their ministry, quit, went home, fell into sin, or whatever. Huh? That's a bad problem that we have all across this globe. Missionaries just don't make it on the mission field. And they look the part. Man, they come in, they got a handful of kids, come from a good church, and most of them got Bible education. But the sacrifice, day-to-day sacrifice on the mission field, trying to reach a people that don't respect you, trying to learn a language that doesn't work for you, and it's plain being away from family, being away from your church. There's no conferences down there. There's no preacher meetings. Nobody invites me to preach their revival, I don't have too many other preachers come preach for me. It's just me. It's just us. Amen? It's the work. Amen? It's just different. It's the mission field. If you're going to go to missions, you better be called. Because if you're not called, you won't last. You won't make it. Hey, if you're going to be a pastor, you better be called. Or you won't last. The people will beat you to death. Huh? God's people can be pretty mean. I'll tell you that right now. Huh? They can. Yeah. What am I thinking? I'm not thinking. I'm just believing. I'm believing that God can do it. Because I can't. Lord, if you want to reach these people, you've got to do it. Huh? And he is. And my wife, Marta, if I could lift her up, she's such a good woman. She is such a godly Christian woman. She got saved when she was a little girl, Baptist church. Rare to have a Baptist church that far down in Latin America. You get a lot of them in Mexico, close to the United States. You get further away from the United States, you're going to get a lot less of them. But she got saved when she was 8 years old, and she's been in church all her life. She's never committed a sin. She's really a good girl. I'm just humbled that a guy like me would end up like a girl with a girl like that. She inspires me. She makes me want to do better. Amen? She's a godly person. She teaches the ladies. She teaches the kids. Amen? She's a good preacher. All the ladies in the church say it. Yeah. Preacher, she preaches better than you do. She's really good. Amen? Decorating, cleaning, cooking, visitation. You would not. She is a worker. Amen? And that's what missions takes. It takes a team. You guys better find the right woman. Because if you don't, you're never going to have a ministry. Huh? It's gonna go out the window just that fast. Don't think. Just believe. Believe in what God can do. Believe what he is doing in your life. Wherever he has you at, that's your mission field. That's where you need to be serving. When I was in Bible college, man, I was active. Anytime, any opportunity I got to preach, I was preaching. Huh? Yeah. Worked full-time job. Took 20 and 22 credit hours. I was trying to get done. I wasn't wasting time. I wanted to get done. I wanted to get out there and get going. I came to college late, married late, went to the mission field late, learned a second language late. I'm just always late. There's one thing I'm not going to be late for. Come up hither. Hey, I'm ready for that. My ticket's bought. Amen? And I'm a born-again child of God. I don't know what I'm thinking, but I know what I'm believing. Amen? God bless you. Thank you for being here.
Let's stand, please. Let's stand with our heads bowed just a moment and think about what we just heard. What do you really believe? Believest thou this? You know, sometimes while God wants us to think, he don't want us to think ourselves out of our faith. He wants us to believe. When we get to the end of our thinking, that's where we take our step of faith. I ask Brother Bert to just give us one short verse of invitation. Maybe you need to come to the altar, talk to God about what he's spoken to you about tonight. Brother Mullins said in a mission conference, he went to the altar and surrendered to go to the mission field. He was a pastor. He started a church. He felt all that responsibility. Yet when God spoke to him, he believed it. Just lead us in a few verses, or maybe just one verse tonight, Brother Bert.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Father, we thank you for what we've heard. We thank you for the testimony of the couple that we've heard from tonight. Thank you that you gave Brother Mullins a good wife, and what a team they've made, and how you've blessed, and we thank you for that. Father, we're so proud to call them our missionaries tonight and know that you prepared them and got them together here in this ministry. May you bless them, supply their needs, continue to give them souls, and thank you again, Father, that your plan is good. And Father, even sometimes when our understanding won't go far enough, we can still believe even further. And we thank you for the truth presented to us tonight. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.